Everybody, welcome to Mattman, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zan. Of course, I'm joined by the original Cookie Puss, Rich Stambolian. Cookie Puss or Fudgy the Whale?
Fudgy the Whale is the best, man. Fudgy the Whale is magical.
Yeah.
For my brother's, this is a few years ago, for my brother's 45th birthday, I got him a Fudgy the Whale. And his reaction was amazing.
Dad, holy crap, you got me a Fudgy the Whale.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's Fudgy the Whale. There's a magical property of Fudgy. It'll turn you into a kid, like, instantly.
Yeah.
And you know what? Pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Leave it out for 20 minutes. Let it get a little melty.
Okay, I got a question for you guys.
Shoot.
And you tell me, like, this is for the fans, too, that are kind of our age. Do you remember what the WWE ice cream bars tasted like?
Yeah.
Like, can you taste it in your mouth when you think about it?
Yeah, you know why? Because when I was a kid, I was a big fan of ice cream. Like every kid.
Who isn't?
And my favorite, the WWF ones were my second.
I'm talking about like the original ones, like the ones like with like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man, like the big deal ones.
They were my second favorite ice creams.
Compared to?
They used to make, I don't know if you guys remember this, I'm going to be 37 this year, but, and you may have had these, they were frogs. They were green frogs on a popsicle with M&Ms for eyes.
Green frogs on a popsicle with yeah. But it was like dyed green, right?
Yeah. That was my favorite ice cream bar when I was a kid.
Yeah. So I remember the taste of the ice cream bars. So it was essentially like an ice cream sandwich, right?
Yeah, on a stick.
But there was something so delicious about these bars.
It was the dough.
It was the dough. Yeah. I could taste it. Like if I think about it enough, I could taste this ice cream bar.
Yeah.
And I found out what happened to them. Apparently I did like all this. It was pure chemicals. It was like this tiny little factory somewhere in like the Midwest.
Okay.
That made these.
Sure.
And they just had no way of supplying them.
The demand was so high.
They could not do it.
Were they handmade?
They were handmade by an old Midwestern woman just making those bars.
Hand carved. Hulk Hogan's on them.
There was literally no way that they could have done it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Isn't it effing bizarre? That you would have thought that the marketing team, when CM Punk cut that promo a few years ago, that the marketing team would have jumped on those ice cream bars, right? Yet, flash forward 5 years later, the New Day talks about Bootios.
And it's there.
And there's a Bootios cereal.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
It's kind of interesting.
I do remember they did come up with one. There was a WWF ice cream bar that they did, like retro style, but it was nothing like it, like a couple of years ago. They redid it.
Were they shaped?
The same way. They were done like the same
Interesting.
Way. But it didn't taste anything like it, apparently. I never tasted it, but...
Yeah, ice cream is amazing. It's across the board.
Yeah, I had ice cream yesterday. You know what I love?
What?
The fruit bars.
Okay.
Like the frozen fruit bars that you get like at a bodega.
Sure. Yeah.
Those. I love those. I bought four of them. They're in my fridge.
The tubes?
No, not the tubes. Like, they're actually like shaped...
Okay.
And it's like real fruit in there.
Okay.
Live fruit.
Yeah, live fruit.
Inside of the ice cream.
All chemicals.
Yeah, all chemicals.
Ice cream's generally pure chemicals anyway.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. So a lot to talk about today. Let's see, where do we begin? Did you watch any of the UK stuff yesterday?
No, I'm saving it for today. I was going to watch it all today.
Okay, so I haven't really I watched pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised at the lack of buzz around it.
Yeah, man. You know, like
WWE did not do a great job at promoting this event, and this is part of my criticism here. If I were to take a bet, I would say that it was very good. Right, like I saw parts of it, and I was very excited. Like I was watching in my office a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But WWE did a very poor job at really promoting this heavily, and there really wasn't much buzz online. And I can tell you based on my Facebook group. You know, we have like 17,000, 18,000 people in there.
Yeah.
And generally, we, like for the last time the UK thing happened, that thing was pumping.
Yeah.
That group, like it was just busy.
And it was fun, man. And you know why? Because it was live.
Well, this is live too, no?
It's not.
This is tape.
I feel like for me personally.
No, it is live. It is live because it was on at 3 in the afternoon. It is live.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I know that they taped some stuff.
Okay.
Somebody tell me I'm wrong or right here, but it is live. And the fact that you don't know that it's live or not,
I thought it was taped because they released the spoilers of like the NXT. Dudes, yeah. You know, like maybe that's what I was thinking of. But the first time it happened last year, I remember it was like a big thing. It was a big deal. Everybody was tuning. Yeah. I was home at 3 p.m. I managed to get all my work done and I had a great time. I got a sandwich.
It was on a Friday.
I watched it. Yeah, it was on a Thursday and Friday, right? Yeah. For some reason, this one just like I didn't. There was no connection to it, even though I know the matches are going to be fantastic. I like a lot of the dudes in it. My one thing, man, like, what happened to Neville?
What happened to Neville?
Where is Neville?
He's gone.
But there's nothing.
Yeah, he's gone.
There's nothing. There's like, dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, he left. He said, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Yeah, he was, the finals should be live. That's what it
okay.
is.
Okay.
So, I have a problem with this because I feel like there's so much noise in wrestling right now.
You mean buzz?
But no, noise.
Okay.
Buzz is good. Noise yeah. is not good because okay. now what's happening is everything is just becoming numbing.
Okay.
Too
much content is what you're saying.
There is a lot of content, and I don't know what the answer here is with this because, you know, you got Raw, obviously, right. last night, which we'll talk about. You got SmackDown.
Correct.
You got 205 Live. You got NXT. You got a pay-per-view every month. You got New Japan that's become a regular thing. You got Ring of Honor that's a regular content that people watch. You have even Impact. You have Lucha Underground. And then you got 5,000 other indie shows. Then you got All In that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Then you got that show that Kenny Omega's putting on.
Jericho Cruise
coming up.
A lot of wrestling.
PWG.
Are you worried that people are... Either people or you personally aren't going to be able to differentiate what's good anymore. You think there's too much right now?
Yeah. So I, you know, talking in like business terms, right? When things are too prosperous sometimes mm-hmm. and there's a lot of happenings.
Everybody gets a job.
Everybody gets a job, but there are moments like you become. So in the finance world, right? Yeah. And I could relate this kind of connects. In the finance world, when businesses are doing good and people are starting making money, hedge funds mm-hmm. are making money, banks are making money, people duck out on a Friday.
Right.
You know, Thursday, they'll leave a little early. Mm-hmm. Those late nights aren't happening. So what happens is you kind of, because things are rolling, you kind of get separated and disconnected
okay.
a little bit because there's so much noise.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually things crash.
Okay.
I think we're at a bizarre peak
mm-hmm.
with pro wrestling at this moment. I think we'll there's one more level to go. I think All In. I think the Ring of Honor, now it's not happening, but if Ring of Honor ran the garden, that would have been another peak here.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have seen it going up higher than that.
It's kind of fascinating where it's going. And we talk about this over the last couple of months.
Well, I don't know where it's going. Can you see it? Can you project?
I think me personally, as a lifelong fan and just doing the show and like seeing what people say and like the buzz that's going on, my personal thought on that is, you know, we always talk about the peaks and valleys of pro wrestling. And that's how the business is by nature. You know, there's peaks, there's valleys. You know, your peaks would be, you know, when it's hot, it's hot.
Yeah.
When it's not, it's definitely the
but
worst thing.
But it's hot and it's not at the same time.
So here's my thing. I think where we're one of the possible outcomes of this is WWE doing what WWE always does, which is securing talent, doing interpromotional things better than anybody else can. They just released the main event for a Noah show.
Hideo Itami.
Marufuji and Hideo Itami, right?
September 1st.
Headlining the show. There's a lot of speculation about the Bucks and Kenny coming over next year, right?
Yeah, I don't
like WWE is good at, hey, listen, we want to secure these guys. We need to make this stuff happen.
Listen, they could give them all the money that they ever wanted.
Yeah.
Right?
We can't have eyes on another product. You know what I mean? Like, we can't let the attention go away from us. I think that's the thing. It's not a bad competition is great.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of like that business aspect, they're like, no, we have to show everybody we're still number one. You know? I think the peak is gonna happen when all these moving parts kind of smush together and you kind of see stuff that you've never seen before. And I have a feeling that one of those things is going to be WWE branching out into other companies. I think Liger was a litmus test. I think that match between Liger and
Tyler Breeze. Okay.
Was a litmus test.
If that happened now, think of that, right? Think about how many years ago that was. That was 2014?
He was still in NXT, right? Yeah.
He was still in NXT. 2015?
2015, let's say.
2015. The fact that Liger, by the way, he doesn't have a contract with anybody. Mm-hmm. But let's see, he's New Japan.
Right.
Right?
He's associated with New Japan.
He's associated with New Japan. He did an NXT TakeOver match, mm-hmm. which got over great, right? That could have been the beginning of something, mm-hmm. and it didn't become it. And only because WWE chose not to do it.
Exactly.
That's the only reason why.
And also, you know, like, people love to throw around how, like, WWE is, like, this monster, this uncaring monster. But listen, the reason is why they're so big, because they listen to people, right?
Yeah.
And in the company, you have AJ Styles. Think about this. AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Nakamura, Matt Bloom, head trainer at NXT, who was a former Japanese champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
You have five dudes who are over, for the most part. You have Jericho going to Japan, who has a personal connection to Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
You don't think these dudes are saying,
of course,
like,
they are.
Hey,
yeah.
Listen, yeah. If, like, these guys are good workers, bring them over. You know, you don't think Jericho is texting Vince McMahon saying, hey, listen, this guy's good, this guy's good, this guy's good. There's a lot of money with these people, you know?
You know where I think the change has happened? Before the option of, like, and I'm not saying, by the way, this is pure speculation.
Right,
okay?
Yeah, yeah.
This is just my opinion. 2-3 years ago, if I gave you the scenario that WWE would be okay with doing some sort of weird angle with the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
without them being signed, like a one-off or like a, you know, yeah. two-match deal, you would have said, no, that's not how they do it.
Right.
I think we have more of a possibility of something like that happening now than mm-hmm. we ever had, because I think they've realized that these one-offs work.
Yes.
You know, one-offs work. And they saw with, here's a great example, the Hardys.
Yeah.
Showed up. They were hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that worked. Unfortunately, you know, things happen and right. they just poor booking. I don't know if this will happen. I think if it did, we have the best chance of it happening now.
Mm-hmm.
If there is some sort of interpromotional connection where the Bucks come over, mm-hmm. they keep, you know, they do a one-off or two match.
Right.
And then maybe Kenny comes over, does something with them. Mm-hmm. It's not a high-profile match. They're not going to put Kenny Omega with, you know, for example, John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
But they might do, like, a New Day versus Young Bucks thing, and it's a fun match.
Right.
And everybody goes home happy, and everybody sold mm-hmm. tickets, and everybody, I mean, it was a big deal.
Open challenge at a pay-per-view.
Something like that. Yeah. I could see that happening more now than any other time. Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a good example of that too, and you know, and I'll tell you one of the moments where that tide has changed, where WWE, I feel, again, speculation, but I feel they changed their mentality on these guys, is Samoa Joe, and why?
Yeah,
because they let him keep his name, and that first T-shirt sold out like
crazy.
Nobody's business.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and I think they were like, "Holy shit! Like, this dude's this guy's a walking brand. Who else is a walking brand? AJ Styles."
Yeah, but Bobby, you know what, though? But
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If you look at the WWE, like, they look at it as an outside thing.
Mm-hmm.
There has not been any outside entity
mm-hmm.
outside of WWE that has performed tremendously with merchandise sales, other than the Bullet Club
right.
and the Young Bucks and Kenny.
Yeah.
You know, essentially that group.
Yeah.
That is the only group in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Since the NWO, because there was nobody else other than,
mm-hmm.
give me another brand other than the NWO that was on WWE level
merch.
Maybe yeah. ECW, the ECW shirt, right? BWO.
Sure, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
BWO.
Your ECF and W shirt, maybe.
ECF and W. Yeah.
That Cactus Jack shirt, possibly.
Yeah, but again, WWE.
Yeah.
There is no group that has sold yeah. merchandise, and that is something that they see.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a shit about Kenny Omega having a 7-star match.
Right.
They care about, wow, look at this. These Bullet Club shirts
yeah.
are flying.
And plus, like, they can turn around and look at the guys like the Bucks and say, these guys are an asset because they're brilliant. You know, not only
Funko Pop.
Yep. Not only can they work, but they're businessmen.
They're an enterprise.
And I think that's something that WWE looks for in their talent. You know? Because if they can, I think that's the thing. It's a lot of mentoring, because there's got to be people backstage who are saying, look, man, if these guys can do this on their own,
imagine
what we could do with them to make everybody that kind of money.
I was talking to somebody from there a couple weeks ago. I was having a drink with them in the city. And they were saying that there is a little bit of a problem where when people come over, they, you know, when you achieve your goal, you kind of sit back a little bit.
Right.
And everybody now, before there was competition, so, you know, you were fighting for a number one spot, and if you didn't get it here, then you would go somewhere else.
Right.
That's how it always was, the mentality. You know, let's say you were in WCW and you weren't going anywhere. You would go to ECW for a little bit. Right. You go to WWE, maybe back to ECW. You were trying to figure out a position where you're in that upper card.
Gotta get yourself over.
You were doing this.
Yeah.
Now, to them, being over is just being part of the company.
You're making a lot
for
of
a
money.
Lot of guys. For a lot of guys. Because they're all, a lot of them are making money, and they're in the big leagues now.
Yeah.
So they no longer look at it as a franchise for themselves. They look at it as they're on the New York Yankees, and that's good enough.
It's a weird thing, because that you hear that a lot, and I think regardless of Drew McIntyre's comments being kayfabe or not, but he keeps saying, like, listen, those NXT guys are hungry, and they're coming for your spots.
But where does that hunger take them? What happens?
Yeah.
Taking spots. What spots? Everybody has a spot.
That's
you know
the
what
thing.
I mean?
Everybody
that's the problem.
But I think it's like, it's interesting when you really see somebody with that kind of fire, they get moved up. Jinder Mahal, great example. That dude transformed himself.
Jinder is an example of, you don't have to be the best looking guy. You don't have to be the best worker. You just have to be
motivated
and the hardest working.
Right.
You know, I always say the key to success is not being the best. It's being consistently okay. If you're consistently there and you look good and you're nice, you know,
dependable.
You could be a seven all around. But you are the key player. You're the sixth man off the bench. You can play every position. Jinder is interesting because Jinder got over based on him putting in hard work and transforming himself, reinventing himself.
And he seems like a very coachable guy, because Vince must have been in his ear. If that first promo was a flop when he came out as the modern day Maharaja,
it would have been
the
over.
The plug would have been pulled immediately.
But the second you saw him, right? And it was the second you saw him, like, when he came out as, like, that character.
Right.
I think it was with Rusev, right? The first time we were like, wait a minute. What the hell happened to Jinder?
Oh, was it with Rusev?
When was the first time we saw him? Let's see. Jinder Mahal.
Because wasn't he on Raw?
What, he got porn going?
What? Wasn't he on Raw with Rusev?
Yeah, wait a minute. I think Mick Foley brought him out. Oh, no, Jinder Mahal's here. This is the wrong Jinder Mahal.
It's another Jinder Mahal?
No, this is like an old Jinder Mahal returns. Is this it? Kurt Angle brought Jinder back. No? No. This is April 16th.
Well, he was on Raw. He gave Finn Balor a concussion, and then he was on SmackDown. I think when he was on Raw, he was the man that came in peace, right? And I think that's when he was with Rusev, and then he went to SmackDown.
So he returned in 2016?
Yeah.
But he wasn't like the Maharaja.
No.
He came and he beat up Heath Slater.
Right.
Or something. With Foley. Like
something. Something happened.
Okay. So, and then he went away for a little bit and he came back as the Maharaja, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But you saw him, you're like, what the fuck happened to him? What happened to him? That's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what Vince looks for.
Another great example is a dude who's constantly been hovering around the upper mid card and main event scene is The Miz, right? Not the best body.
No.
Arguably, I mean, he's a great worker, but not the worker you want to see as a wrestling fan. You know what I mean? But the dude's consistent. The dude's got a great personality. I was talking with my wife about this, and I, for one, I'm going to watch Miz and Mrs. Why? Because The Miz is equally hateable and equally lovable.
The Miz.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got going on over there?
I'm looking at Jinder. I'm trying
looking
to
at Jinder
I'm,
pictures?
I'm literally looking at Jinder Mahal's body. So as of 2016, when he September 2016, he was not jacked.
Right.
So I'm trying to see when he transformed.
He did one push-up.
I really think that. So I'm in.
Never did a push up before. Did one. Super body.
Okay, so it had to have been 2017. He became beautiful.
He was always beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, dude. The guy freaking transformed himself, and he became this ridiculous character.
So Jen is a good example.
Yeah, Jen is a great example.
Miz is a good example.
Oh, yeah. How about, you know, consistent? Okay. Here's another great guy. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre.
Ah, unbelievable. Right? Because it's a stud.
He was nobody.
Yeah.
Right, essentially in WWE.
Yep.
He was a lower card guy.
Self-admitted.
Yeah.
Got complacent.
Yeah. Leaves. This guy gets jacked.
Yep.
This guy
becomes a way better worker.
Yeah. He's a psychological, you know, his in-ring psychology is great. He's a big dude. Yeah. He goes to ICW. He does all the European companies. He comes back. He goes to Evolve.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a minute. What the hell happened to him?
NXT champ.
It becomes NXT champ for like a week.
He was too big for NXT.
He was too big for NXT. You know what? I don't think he was a good NXT champ.
I think he was. I really loved him on NXT. I really liked his promos. They polished him up a little bit when he was there, I think, you know? And I think the thing with Drew McIntyre is like, that's a dude who looks like he put in the work. And now guess what? This dude's going to start feuding with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Right. Which I want to talk about a little bit
because
now this is, in my opinion, this is Vince fantasy booking.
Yeah.
Because who's Roman feuding with? Bobby Lashley, giant person.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre, giant person.
Braun
Strowman, giant person. Brock Lesnar, giant effing person. Yeah. You got Roman fighting all the big dudes, and this is Vince's beautiful main event.
But isn't that interesting? The main
muscles.
Event. But it's interesting. The main event is big dudes.
Yep. Big dudes.
All big dudes.
Elias is a big dude too, man.
Imagine
if Elias did the gender and just like got like friggin' cut up.
So
Seth's a big dude too. Different way.
Yeah, different way though. Yeah. You know,
he and Bobby Lashley, big. I feel like Bobby Lashley was born like that.
With no eyebrows.
Just, no, the headband.
So Lashley.
His eyebrow.
I thought his promo was interesting.
That was all right.
Lashley's like, first of all, we need to talk. Let's talk about Bayley quick.
The heel turn?
How soon? First of all, Bayley said bullshit on TV.
Did she say bullshit?
She did say bullshit.
Did somebody in the crowd yell at her?
No, I heard her say it's bullshit.
Okay.
To Sasha.
They beeped it.
I heard it unbeeped.
Okay.
And it is bullshit.
Okay. I like that.
First of all, is she going to come out with the black trunks?
Black trunks, boa.
I want her. This is what I book for her, okay?
Hollywood Bailey.
This is, okay. I book like bad girl Bailey.
Okay.
But she can't commit to it. So like she wears a nose ring, but it's a clip on.
Okay.
And she wears an eyebrow ring and it's a clip on. Because like she's not ready to be a bad girl.
Is she going to join the Riot Squad?
No, I think she's just going to be a loner. I think she's just going to, like, just put on page makeup.
Okay.
I think she's just going to, like, whatever she saw on TV once.
But is, like, that's the thing. Is Bayley a heel now, or is she just fed up?
I like this. Let her be fed up. Let her just be. They need to get rid of the colorful outfits. Just make her bad.
You want black and white.
I want black and white. I just want, like, black trunks. The top, and no more hair in the side stupid bun, just a ponytail.
Okay.
And a fake clip-on nose ring.
Okay.
That everybody knows. Like, they could get the message out that it's like, she's trying to be hard.
She's the bad girl.
She's the bad girl.
I like Bad Bailey.
Love Bad Bailey.
I say boa, black and white, tassels.
It's like her dad left.
Cowboy hat.
It's like her dad and mom got a divorce.
Uh-huh.
And now she's like, my mom and dad got a divorce. I'm a bad kid.
Yeah.
Just listens to Smashing Pumpkins all day.
I hurt inside.
Has a Marilyn Manson poster on her wall.
Sure. Start wearing wide leg jeans.
Goes on. Yeah. starts saying mud jeans.
Mm-hmm. I think the crowd's going to embrace Bayley now because this is the edge her character needs. I don't think it's necessarily a heel turn.
No, I don't think it's a heel turn.
My favorite part of that whole attack on Sasha is when she just threw her on the floor from the ring.
Yeah.
She just dragged her and dropped her.
Like this. Listen, you need to do something different. I mean, they've done this turn 5,000 times. This may be the commitment that we want, but
got to do something different with Sasha, too.
I find it to be impossible for her to be a bad, like, people to boo Bayley.
Like a vile heel.
Because I think everybody likes her, and you kind of like, you know what? Good for you.
She's sweet.
Good for you. You're standing out there. You're fed up. I agree with you. I'm fed up, too. Good for you.
You know when you're a lady that becomes a bad lady? black lipstick. That's what they're gonna do with her.
I don't like
the give black lipstick. They're just gonna give her. Telling you,
I'm into her. Yeah. No more video games. We're smoking cigarettes. We're smoking cloves. Oh, not even cigarettes. We're not ready for cigarettes.
Black
yet.
Fingernails.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bobby Lashley. Did you see the ref yell at him for his bandana? He had the Nike logo, and the ref jumped up and told him to swap it, like flip it.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I was kind of in and out of that. Like, I'm so fascinated by Bobby Lashley's appearance. I tweeted this last week. I feel like he has so many muscles that all I see is a potato. Like, my brain can't process Bobby Lashley's body. And it's fascinating because, number one,
he's old. He's not young.
He's older. He looks like he's light as a feather.
He does.
That dude can move, you know? Yeah. And also, like, if that guy, think about this, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. If that guy learned how to cut a effing amazing promo, he would be the top dog in that company.
Well, they wanted him to be the top guy. He didn't want to do the schedule, and he left.
Right. But that's, I feel like he's got everything. He needs that promo. He's got the look. He's got the in-ring ability. He needs that promo.
I missed did they do the In Memory of Vader?
In the beginning,
I missed it. So what did they do for
him? They just did like a quick, nothing.
No,
they just did like the graphic.
Nothing else. No vignette, huh? No video.
No.
Interesting.
That's it.
So Jimmy Snuka got a video, right? Or did he not?
I don't remember it. How do you feel about Roman versus Bobby Lashley?
I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of okay with it. I do not, however, want to ever see Roman and Brock Lesnar ever again. And I know we're going to get it. They've done such a bad job at making me want to see that match again.
Yeah.
Such a bad job. The only thing that I want to see is for that match to go through with it so we never have it again, and Braun to beat. Braun to cash in.
I want to see Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar.
I do too. No, I want to see that. Well, he had a good point. He's like, listen, I'm the only one that has the strategy, the tools, or whatever he said, to beat Brock Lesnar. And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? This guy's right. He's an amateur wrestler, just like Brock.
Veteran.
He's a veteran pro wrestler, Brock. He is an MMA fighter, Brock. He's not as good as, well, actually, I don't know. You know what? I would love to see that fight.
I think he had more fights.
Who?
Bobby Lashley.
Than
Brock.
Let's see. Bobby Lashley MMA. I don't think he ever fought anybody that was... Hold on. Where's Deacon? Deacon! Deacon would know because he's a big MMA fan. Lashley has... Actually, he has a ton of fights. Jeez.
Yeah.
He is... What's his record here? I can't see it. 15-2. 15 wins, 2 losses.
17 fights.
Yeah.
So, Brock Lesnar had 3 fights?
He hasn't really fought anybody that I would say is up there in caliber. I mean, James Thompson, okay.
Bob Sapp.
Bob Sapp, Bob Sapp was throwing fights 10 years ago, you know?
Okay.
So he really doesn't have... Joshua Franklin, okay, 2008. His last fight was Bellator in 2016. I don't think that he's ever fought anybody of any kind of major notoriety.
Regardless, man, a 15-2 MMA record is pretty damn good.
Yeah, listen, man, he's actually... I have to give him credit. This guy went to MMA, and he actually did very well for what he did. You know, he was smart, though. He didn't go to UFC. He had a very good record. Lashley has a better record in MMA, but it doesn't matter. Records mean nothing. You can fight jabronis all you want, and it doesn't really make a difference. Brock has fought, Mark Hunt was out of... Actually, you know what, with Brock, too? Brock has not fought anybody in their prime.
Okay. What's Brock?
Let's see. He's lost a couple.
That's quite a few. Brock Lesnar.
Let's see. Here we go.
Spell his name.
Bork. 5-3.
Burp. Okay.
Burp. He's 5-3. Actually, he's 6-. Wow. He's three, four, five. He's 6-3 if you think about it.
Jeez.
The Mark Hunt one was a no contest, but he won that.
Yeah. All right. Mark Hunt, Alistair Overeem.
Okay.
He lost to Alistair Overeem.
Min So Kim, K1. That was a easy fight.
Okay.
He fought Frank Mir and got his he lost to Frank Mir.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Herring.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Randy Couture at 40 something years old. Couture was over. He ended up beating Frank Mir out of his prime. He beat Shane Carwin out of his actually Shane was okay at that point. He lost to Cain Velasquez. He lost to Alistair Overeem. And he beat Mark Hunt.
Yeah.
A out of shape, you know, puncher.
Which was overturned,
but I'm giving that win to Brock. Let's say I'll give him that win.
Okay.
Cain Velasquez, he lost because of diverticulitis. Okay.
Right.
Fine. I give that.
Took a lot of body blows.
Overeem, he wasn't prepared for that fight because of all the problems. Okay. Let's say
sure
that was the reason. But oh, you know what? He could have had a very strong record if he never got sick.
Okay.
But if you look at these are names that you recognize even out of their prime.
Right.
Right, Shane Carwin, Frank Mir, Randy Couture, Heath Herring, Mark Hunt, Overeem, Velasquez. But everything is strategic with this. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody says, like, MMA's not a work. Yeah, they can work it if they want to.
Right, yeah.
You know, I actually want to see Fedor and Brock. That is a fight I want to see, always. And Brock would kill him. Brock
you
would kill
so?
Fedor. Oh, yeah, 100. Fedor's old and beat up.
So...
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, that's a good fight to
see.
You
know what else I would love to see?
What?
Brock Lesnar, Shinsuke Nakamura.
In an MMA fight.
In the wrestling. And in an MMA fight.
So, talking about Shinsuke, there are rumors that he's considering going back to Japan.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how true they are. I saw a couple places. I haven't heard anything about that. Yeah. I could see it happening, obviously. I can see it not happening.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a smart move for him. I don't know how he would do in New Japan now. Because that's the amazing thing. You know, Japan was so great 3 years ago. And now they've turned to, I mean, something even bigger. Mm-hmm. So how would he compare in that ecosystem?
I think you have a comment in the chat room.
Yeah, what is it? What's the comment? Read it.
Yo, bro.
Yeah.
Why you be looking like a Walmart version of a High School Musical? Can I curse?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Fuck boy.
Ooh. What does that mean?
Is that towards me or towards you?
Yo, daddy, 415.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Just call daddy? Let's see his profile. Let's see daddy's profile.
I'll take that as a compliment.
What a turd. 17 views total.
I can't sing, baby.
You can.
I can't sing for shit. So... Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, want to see it. I really want to see that belt on somebody else. I also feel like the tools at this point to beat Brock Lesnar are to move out of the way and be Goldberg.
Yeah.
Those are the two things you need
I'm in.
To beat Brock Lesnar. Goldberg's going to come back.
So who's – so SummerSlam, let's say it's Brock and Roman.
Yeah.
Let's just get past it. You
sure.
know what I mean?
Listen, I'm cool.
What now?
I'm cool. Like part of Roman's promo, which I like the tongue in cheek stuff where he was like, "I headlined the last 4 WrestleManias. I'm going for number 5."
Who said that?
Roman sounds like Fat Albert in my head. And that's cool. Great. You know what? He is going to headline another effing WrestleMania. Awesome. But I really, at this point, and I'll say it, this is on record. I'm not the demographic for Brock Lesnar anymore. I don't give a shit about Brock Lesnar anymore.
At all. That's it.
I don't care. I'm over it. I want to see that belt on Raw. I want to see somebody with that belt that's not Brock Lesnar. I don't care who it is at this point.
I'm Kurt Hawkins. I'm starting to think their plan at one point was let's keep the title off. Let's give Brock the title. Let's keep him off. Make him like our Bruno. And then eventually, when you're sick of Brock... We'll give it to Roman to make it better because Roman's here, and that's how they're going to get him over is by fatigue.
Sure.
Brock fatigue. And it really hasn't worked because people are tired.
Brock fatigue.
People are tired of Brock.
Yeah.
But they're not, they're more tired with Roman.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what would make me like Brock again. What? If he showed up on Raw and was honestly like super jacked.
How super jacked?
Like real, like in his prime, Brock Lesnar, like real, like a monster looking. You know, sometimes the dude shows up, his little,
yeah,
he's just a dude, yeah, he's dead. But I don't know, man. I think putting the belt on Roman is good because Roman is he's beatable.
Yeah,
he got pinned by the roll up. He's beatable. I think it makes the title scene interesting. I used to love it when you know, you'd get the title changes on Raw, you know, like this guy picked the champion, et cetera. And with Roman, you could do that. You know, you can have guys like, I think it elevates the title. And I also think like it's a fun thing they to
have,
do.
Okay, but if you think about it, they have not done a great job at creating anybody to be the guy to hold that title right now. Is there anybody that you're like, man, this is the dude. This is the dude that needs that title, that's going to represent the company, that's going to be the face of the company, and you want him to have that title on Raw?
Rollins.
Okay, you know what, Rollins, fine. But is he the guy?
He could be the guy.
Because SmackDown has done a great job with AJ Styles.
Yes, 100%.
And, I mean, solid, solid job with AJ holding that title. You know that he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you go with that angle? Like, who's he going to feud with now? Joe?
Braun?
No, AJ.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Yeah, Joe. Joe's a good... Joe, Daniel Bryan, Miz... You got some dudes on SmackDown that you can rotate it. Again, SmackDown is more of the wrestling show, and Raw is the big dude show. It's 3 hours of big dudes.
So you got, I mean, right now, this is the match for SmackDown for tonight. You got Jeff Hardy versus defending the United States Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura. You got the Bludgeon Brothers appearing on Miz TV.
Mm-hmm.
The cast of GLOW has a message for Naomi.
Oh, awesome. Oh, I think Daniel Bryan's going to bring out Kane.
Why?
Because he got beat up by the Bludgeon Brothers last
year.
Oh,
my God. So they're going to do... actually, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, so what does that mean? Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. What does that mean that he got beat up by the Bludgeon Brothers?
I think they're going to put the tag titles on Kane and Daniel Bryan again.
Oh, my God.
I'd be okay with that. If it was like classic.
I feel like they don't know.
I want voice box Kane.
I want, suck it. I want him to say suck it only.
Suck it.
You know, look at Daniel Bryan right now. He's had decent... I mean, him and Joe had a decent match. Him
yes.
and Styles had a decent match.
Absolutely.
We haven't yet to see him
mm-hmm.
in, like, a full potential match.
I agree with that. Take...
And they're doing that on... That's by design,
yes.
by the way. That's
yes.
not because of bad booking or anything. That is... that's by design that they're doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So... My question is, what is their mindset with this? Are they looking for more of a, let's build them up, build them up, and then go there? Because I'll tell you, that last pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
where was it? In Chicago.
Yeah.
He was by far more over than anybody else that I have seen in that company in years. And all he does is this. And that Chicago crowd was going nuts for him. Every night, every crowd goes nuts for him. You know, obviously there were more quiet towns than other ones, but consistently, I don't think anybody gets a pop like he does.
No, not at all. He's the most over guy in the company.
Right? So he doesn't even need a title. That's the reality of it, and that's how they see it.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to do it. They're going to have the redemption story.
Yeah.
That's what it builds up to. So you're starting him out now.
And the Miz,
having
the Miz wrap-up.
They haven't even gone near it, huh?
Yeah.
A little bit.
They've teased it.
Yeah.
Not gone near. And also, like we were talking about spots in the company, Big Cass left a void because they put a big spotlight on that dude. So somebody's got to take that place.
Yeah. So what does that do to the plans?
I think somebody's got to step up.
Well, it was the blow off. The blow off was that.
But they were concentrating a lot. They gave Cass a lot of airtime in the last month.
Did we talk about, did I mention why they got rid of him last week?
We talked about...
Did I mention the Carmella thing or no?
No, that came out after the fact.
Okay, but I think I told you off the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was part of the problem, that he was... I'm not going to use the term harassing,
mm-hmm.
but I will say harassing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He was...
He was being a dick.
He was being a dick.
Apparently, allegedly.
Yeah. But you know, this is a good life lesson. You know,
treat your ladies right.
Treat everybody right. And I saw a thing that he's going to the Bullet Club, and this is the way to stick it to WWE.
Yeah, okay.
Big Cass is not going to the fucking Bullet Club. No, he's not going to Japan right now. Mm-hmm. He has some money. He's going to figure out what he's doing. I don't think he wants to run that schedule at all.
Right.
Impact
Zone, man.
Maybe Impact, but what do you do with him?
Large
William?
Large Casanova.
Oh, and he's just like a lover.
Giant Casanova, yeah. And he's a lover.
I'm sure we'll see an Enzo and Cass reunion.
I don't think so.
I do see Enzo signing up again.
Yes, absolutely.
I do see that happening.
Yeah, I think once the heat dies down.
Well, the heat's done. You know, he did that Stone Cold podcast. Did you listen to it?
I started listening this morning.
Okay, I heard
pretty
parts
good
of it.
Yeah.
I
like it.
I haven't dived into any of the stuff about the case that night.
Yeah, the beginning of the podcast is him just telling his side of the story as far as, like, how he got fired.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. And how what he said to Vince and all that, which is cool. You know what? I think once the heat dies down, because, you know, the heat's dead, you got to give it a few more months, I think he'll come back.
Yeah, because the reality is, I mean, he didn't. He's a very good talker. Mm-hmm. I mean, from all the evidence and everything that you see and everything that's been said about the person that alleged all these things, she has a very bad history of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I the reality is he got fired for being put in that situation.
Right.
Allowing himself to be in that kind of situation with possible drugs everywhere and pretty much not disclosing it. He says he didn't know anything about it. There's other stories. I mean, it's a messy situation, but I do see him coming back.
Also, on the 25th anniversary of Raw. So the timing couldn't have been worse.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so of course, like, that's a freak out situation. And according to him on the Stone Cold podcast, he was
podcast.
He was the storyline thread through the whole show.
Yeah.
He was gonna have a few bits on the show. So you know what? That kind of sucks. Sucks for him. But, you know, we live in a litigious society. Who knows who's right? Who knows who's wrong? He was proven innocent. But we live in an era where it's guilty until proven not guilty, but you're still guilty according to the internet. F
so,
you.
I want to take a little serious turn here. I want to talk about. So do you know Derek Bailey? He's a friend of ours.
That's not Derek in the chat room.
That's not Derek in the chat room. No, there's another Derek.
I only know one Derek.
This Derek has, he reached out to us. Mm-hmm. He reached out to me, and he set up a raffle on our behalf for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Cool.
And we have a giveaway. We're doing a giveaway raffle. The folks over at WWE were very gracious enough to send over a couple autographed Big Show, signed autographed photos.
Awesome.
There's also a AJ Styles WWE action figure signed by AJ Styles. So this is how it works. This is for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. We're going to be raffling off 3 signed Big Show 8x10s and 1 AJ Styles signed Mattel action figure. All the items were signed and witnessed in person and will easily pass by any third-party authentication service. This is how it works. You get 4 winners will be drawn on July 13th. $5 per entry, $20 for 5 entries, $50 for 15 entries. This is, again, it's going to a great cause. Mm-hmm. Winners will be announced on our social media and directly via email. And I'm going to post a link in the chat room. I don't know if I can with this, but it'll be in our show notes. And this is going to a great cause and a great foundation. And I'm all for it. I'm actually going to donate. I'm not entering in the raffle.
Same here.
I'm going to donate a couple bucks to this. And if you want to help out with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation and possibly win, you know, some pretty cool prizes supplied by WWE with a Big Show signed autograph and, of course, an AJ Styles Mattel action figure signed, you could go over to mattmen.com. It's mattmen.passion. I can't even see it. I'm so sorry. I'm blind.
PassionFinestCFF.org.
Yeah, thank you very much. I can't even see it. Jeez.
You need glasses, man.
I've lost it.
Go to the doctor.
Hey, go to the doctor.
Didn't you get LASIK?
No.
I thought you got LASIK.
I want LASIK, though.
Get that LASIK.
You know what? I need a guy to do it for me.
Give me 50 bucks. I'll do
you. You want to do it?
Your eye surgery.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get my LASIK pointer. So, guys, I'll have it in the show notes over there. And Derek's a good dude, so I want to help him out. Not the other Derek. The other Derek's a shithead.
Oh!
In the best way, in the most loving way.
You're going to take that? He's going to send Matt Riddle after you.
You know what? I want to see him, and I want to just open his mouth. I want to shove gabagool deep in his mouth like that. Just keep putting it in there.
Derek, are you into that?
I think he is. I think he is into it. So, you know, I think this is a, we're in a very interesting time.
Yes.
Are you
we're
as
in the future.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this.
Sure.
And I'll ask the audience this. Are you as excited about SummerSlam as you were previous years?
I'm always excited about wrestling.
You're always excited about wrestling. I know, but
I'm usually also excited about everything.
Yeah.
I'm like a child. Yeah, you know what? It's fun. That's the thing. Like, it's fun. I kind of want to go. I kind of want to go to NXT also,
yeah.
You know. But at the same time, I'm like, I like usually for SummerSlam, I'll barbecue during the day, and then I will watch it. I think last year.
Oh, and you know, I could tell when you've been barbecuing a little too much.
Why?
You get very excited on social media.
I do get very excited.
And it's so funny because we have our. I guess Rich could tell when I like had like a little bit too much.
Sure.
When I'm like going on and I'm like. He's fucking bad, 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 bad. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Or I'll start fighting with people.
Yes.
And like it's always like a very passive aggressiveness. And then Rich just gets so happy. Rich
sure.
loves everything and everybody.
Everything.
And he's so excited.
That's it.
And he's talking about the babes. And he's talking about how much he loves Roman Reigns.
Talking about that babes.
We have very different ways that we kind of go into it.
It's true. I haven't had a drink in 22 days. And it's funny. Treehouse Vince last night on Twitter was like, somebody's been drinking. I was like, I have not.
Yeah, you haven't been drinking.
No, I've been a good boy.
You have been a good boy. Till when?
July 3rd.
Yeah, it's your day.
And I'm going to go to press. I'm going to get a nice cold beverage.
Can you do me a favor? Can you get really drunk and just, this is what I want.
I think I'm going to have one beer.
I want you to get really
out.
Drunk at press. Uh-huh. By the way, our favorite place in the world is Press 195. Yeah. I want you to get really drunk at press, and I want you to say, hold on, I'll be right back. I'm going to the bathroom.
And just take
a
leak.
No, and then just take a leak by the bar.
I don't know. I'm kind of worried because I feel like I'm going to have one beer and just be like, oh, I'm going to need like a fainting couch. You know? Like, oh, this is too much.
Yeah, I saw.
I'll turn to Snagglepuss.
So everybody turns into Snagglepuss. So let's do Q&A, guys. If you have any questions, submit them in the chat room. This is your time to ask questions before we wrap it up because it's really hot in the studio, and I do have some work to do, actually. I'm working on a couple of things here.
Cool.
I'm working on a couple of things. So send me your questions now, and we'll get started with that. Any rumors that we need to address? I'm trying to think of anything.
Big Cass in the Bullet Club?
Big Cass in a Bullet Club, I can't imagine
like,
that's happening.
There's a CM Punk rumor going around that...
What's the CM Punk rumor?
He's open to facing Kenny Omega at some point soon, which it's kind of interesting because I feel like the rumor mill is kind of weird with wrestling at this point because people... And this is everything. This is like your quote-unquote fake news or whatever, but people take little bits here and there. We were talking about this last week and present it as fact. You know? And I think it may have been a case of CM Punk saying the name Kenny Omega and then people saying, oh, he's going to wrestle Kenny Omega.
Listen,
at some point.
You know, CM Punk has said that he has no interest in coming back to wrestling. I can't. Listen, I don't know CM Punk. You know?
You don't?
No, I don't know him. I know a couple of people that do.
Uh-huh.
And I know how passionate he is about pro wrestling and how passionate he was about the business.
Sure.
And how aggressive he had to be. Like, we were talking about going to WWE and just, like, being like, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
He was not one of those guys ever.
Right.
And for all the flaws that that guy has, you know, from what people say about him or not, you know, I think his flaws of him being a jerk, it's really misread to the point that he worked really hard to become where he, you know, to
Very
go where
hard.
He was. And he was in a business. He had everything stacked against him.
Absolutely.
And... And the guy was able to take his character that he always had. Never, I mean, he really was the same guy.
Yeah.
And his gimmick was what was his gimmick? Like, he was like a Muay Thai guy at one point.
Right.
You remember that? Like, his thing was like he was like a Muay Thai fighter, but he had tattoos everywhere and long hair.
Very heavily influenced Japanese style.
He was... and this is going to come off wrong if you're a CM Punk fan, but he was the epitome of the indies in the early 2000s.
The best part of the indies.
No. I think. No. Forget about his. I'm saying, like, you look at him.
Yeah.
There were a lot of CM Punks on the indies.
Yeah.
They were wearing the shorts. Mm-hmm. They were not in good shape. Yeah. They had the bleach blonde long hair. They were really into metal and punk. Mm-hmm.
Really into Jeff Hardying.
I don't want to say that. I don't want to go to, but there was a lot of that. And I think a lot of it was the influence of CM Punk and Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
I remember the first time I heard about CM Punk.
Yeah.
It was probably 2003.
Yeah.
I had a friend, Jason Soto, really into independent wrestling. I really wasn't into the indies at that point. Maybe so it was 03 or 04, and he's like, this guy is the best, CM Punk. He's the guy in the indies, and Colt Cabana, and CM Punk, and Colt Cabana, Brian Danielson, Colt Cabana, CM, that's all I would hear.
Yeah.
And I saw CM Punk, and in my mind, I thought this guy was going to be like a Chris Benoit.
Okay.
That's how I envisioned this guy, CM Punk, like or like a Jericho, like body, you know. And then I saw CM Punk, I'm like, oh, that's him? And I saw him work, I was like, wow, this guy's good.
Yeah.
A lot of adversity in front of
him. Well, he also came up in a time where there was still a lot of this and this. And
and he wasn't part of
that shit going on. It must have been tough.
So
this
guy took himself and he put himself at the top.
Right.
Of the at one point he was the best wrestler in the world.
Multiple time champion,
longest reigning WWE, all that stuff. So how can you? I do not believe him when he says, well, I don't want to wrestle anymore.
Old school man, kayfabe.
Listen, man, I get it, and it's smart, and but because he still needs, he can't be like, yeah, I'm gonna wrestle again. He needs to get back in the ring. He needs to put on, you know, he slimmed down for this UFC stuff. You know, that's not easy at all. That training is very different.
Yeah.
You know, he did his best. He tried to fight, and it was not for him.
I feel like if he decides to come back,
he's not going to WWE.
In a pro wrestling capacity, I feel like
All In would be the moment.
All In would be great. I feel like he would be better than ever because through the MMA training, his cardio is probably through the roof.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
So I feel, and he always had a good motor. I feel like if he decides to come back, it would be cool. It has to be the right situation. It has to be a right promo. I think between him and Kenny, that would be a nice little thing or a surprise, you know? Like, I would like to see it happen this year. I think it would be really cool, but who knows? You know, I think the window is closing on that big CM Punk return. Will he ever come back to WWE? Who knows? Will he go to New Japan? Again, who knows, man? I mean, we're back in that stage of pro wrestling where it's almost like the Wild West, where Jericho, I think, also set the bar where, like, he can do whatever he wants. He shows up a couple of shots in New Japan. He's not doing their schedule. He shows up when he wants to. And I think in that situation, you know, Jericho, Rey Mysterio, guys like that. Probably CM Punk if you wanted to go back.
Oh, so Rey Mysterio's back.
Yeah. In video game form.
Yeah, but he's back. he's coming back. I don't know. You know, I think he's a good specialty guy.
Yes.
I don't think they should ever use Rey for more than that.
205 Live.
Maybe get listen, dude. No.
Yeah.
You know what? Rey and AJ Styles.
Great.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
And I was, by the way, I'm not a huge Rey Mysterio fan.
I love Rey. I put him on SmackDown. Put him on SmackDown.
I like really jacked up Rey though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I like really top heavy jacked Rey Mysterio doing those flips.
World champion Rey.
Yeah. Let's see. What do you think of the UK shows? I think it's fine. I do think it lost a little something in it, and I find that really hard to believe in Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah,
it was fucking battle Royal Albert Hall. I think it lost something a little bit. I don't know why. I guess it has to do with the way that they're shooting it compared to the other UK show that they had, because the venue for that one was a little bit more intimate.
Okay,
and it was just nice. I do feel like it feels like another Wrestle WWE show. Mm-hmm.
I did see a little bit, and I do agree with that. I also think I feel like that title needs to be on WWE TV in the States a little bit, just to get more eyes on it.
Oh, absolutely. It's
a beautiful title.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that, you know what? I'm going to say he could possibly be a future world champion.
Pete Dunne?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. He has something.
I'd like to see him with AJ Styles.
I mean, you look at him, and this guy has something, and he's not big. Yeah. He doesn't have a body. He's not a good-looking guy, but he has something.
He's got it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's what, like 23, 24?
He's young. Yeah. 20. He's pretty amazing. Young.
I would like to see, it would be interesting. I feel like if Drew McIntyre wasn't doing that program, right now with Dolph Ziggler, he probably would be in that tournament.
I think he's too big for that tournament.
Too big for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, you know, you put him up against those UK guys and you're like, oh, crap.
Well, the interesting thing about Drew McIntyre is that he's 6'5", right?
But he feels like he's 10 feet tall.
Yes, he made Roman look small yesterday.
He did. He made Roman look really small.
Yeah, and like he's like just a thick dude. You know, he's like a big dude. And I think it's just because he's like well-defined, broad-chested.
Yeah.
He makes everybody look small. And Roman's not a tiny guy. Like, Roman's a pretty big dude.
They're all pretty big dudes. That's the problem. Yeah. They're all big dudes. None of them are small.
Lashley, too. Like, Lashley's like wide
as a
doorway. You
know what I find amazing? I was listening to an interview. They were talking Chris Jericho. Mm-hmm. And Chris was talking about how he was always considered like a small guy. Mm-hmm. Him and Benoit and Eddie. Benoit was 230.
Yeah.
Jericho was like 235.
Yeah.
Like, these were like 220, 230-pound guys.
Yeah.
And they were considered real. They were cruiserweights.
Yeah. Well, look at Sean. Sean's 6'1".
No, on a good day, Sean with his lifts, maybe. Sean is 5'10", 5'11", always.
That dude was like, oh, he's the tiniest person. You know, like that was like his uphill battle.
Yeah. Sean was 235.
Yeah.
I mean, 235 now. Who's 235 on this roster right now? Honestly, who's 235 pounds right now?
That's a good question.
Like well-defined.
Apollo,
maybe Roman, 240?
Nah, Roman's like 260, 270.
You think he's 260 pounds?
I think
pounds?
So, man. He's dense.
Oh, no way. Because Triple H in his prime was 285 jacked.
Okay.
I wonder if he had 300.
Well, Austin, this was a weird stat, too, that we know this. Austin in his prime, too, was 253.
Rock was 275.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a big boy,
man. I think Roman's like 260.
Can you 250 pounds?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And we're looking at this roster now,
jacked.
And the most jacked guys are 210 pounds. Balor is 185 pounds.
Sure.
You know, like,
yeah,
we're not talking, and the industry's changed tremendously.
But Balor's also like, I think Balor gets away with it because like he's effing jacked.
Where have all the big guys gone? You know what? I want to do a documentary.
You mean
about
like
wrestling?
Like where your Hillbilly Jims and like.
No, I want guys. Like the Warlords. Where are the Warlords? Where are the Where's Barbarian? Where's Hercules?
It's a different time, man. I think you know what? Like, you know who I feel like would have been a perfect fit if Vince got to him? Thor Bjornsson, World's Strongest Man. He plays a mountain on.
Yes.
On Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
He's 6'9". Like 400 something pounds. Like this dude looks like if you're gonna put anybody look get a picture of Thor Bjornsson.
Yeah.
Right. If you're gonna get anybody to go up against Brock Lesnar, that would be my dude. This dude, I think he.
How do you spell Bjornsson?
B J O R N, maybe two S's. O N.
I got it.
I think he.
This guy. I mean, tiny little head, big giant body.
I think he deadlifted 1,500 pounds. He set like some kind of record.
Yeah, but where are these guys? What are they doing now?
He's in Norway. He's powerlifting.
You think they're just like getting jacked up? Because you know what?
He's competing. He's
I'll tell you though.
He's an actor.
If you were this big, this big of a guy,
I'd step on everybody.
There was no other than being an actor or becoming a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You really weren't doing much to make money, or becoming a pro athlete like a football player.
Well,
now you could be a fucking Instagram model and just be a jacked up dude, get paid to post pictures of you working out
lifting
with gear.
Guys, man.
I mean, these guys. That's the thing.
He's a world record breaker.
Yeah, he's
like
a big guy.
He's a big dude. Like, imagine that guy on Raw. Imagine that guy taking on. If they taught him how to work, they taught him how to talk. That would be Vince's puppy right there.
Raw needs a name change. Monday Night Big Dudes.
Yes,
that's what I want.
I agree with that.
Have you guys heard about WoW Superheroes?
No.
New women's wrestling show on Access. Any thoughts? I have not heard about this.
Not heard about that either. Derek has a lot of questions today.
Derek, I love it.
I love it too. Give us more questions. It doesn't matter if they don't have to be wrestling related, but they should be.
Lana Starr, the porn star? Who are these people? I wonder if they have different names, all of them probably.
How do you feel
about... The Beverly Hills Babe.
How do you feel about the Alexa Bliss Nia Jax storyline?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm thinking of it.
Now, I'm going to get your opinion on this. I kind of feel like the way it's being delivered is very Mick Foley versus Triple H in the early 2000s.
Say that again?
The way it's being delivered is very Triple H versus Mankind in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, kind of. I could see that. You know, where, Beauty and the Beast. Yeah,
where it's like, I'm the best and you're nothing. You're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing. And she's getting, and Alexa's getting, like, legitimate boos from the, like, she got very heavily booed last night, which is great. You know, you don't really see heels getting booed anymore, apart from Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Interesting. All right, let's wrap it up. I'm looking at this. The names for these girls are... Okay, so Santana Garrett is their champion, but she's great. Lana Starr, self-proclaimed star of the show. The Jungle Girl, G-R-R-R-L.
Sure.
Cage Teat, they're prisoners.
What would be your... If you were a lady
and
a wrestler, what would be your
Lady name? Santa Fe.
Lady Santa Fe.
I don't even have to think about it. My name would be Lady Santa Fe.
I would be the next level of ODB, and I would call myself Hobag Johnson.
Hobag Johnson? No, I'd be Lady Santa Fe. And I wear like a kimono almost.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Riot. There's somebody named Riot. The Beverly Hills Babe.
Sweet.
It's Amber. It's Gallows' ex-wife.
No. Oh, okay.
This is... I don't get what they're going to do with this.
Thanks for the heads up, Derek.
When does this start? This looks ridiculous.
Is Matt Riddle the savior of pro wrestling? Wait, yes, he is. Man.
Matt Riddle's great.
Did you kiss him once, Derek?
I think so. I think he did. Wait, but this is season four of this? This has been going on for four seasons?
That's awesome.
Oh, God. I didn't even know this is a thing. How have I never heard of this?
Yeah, same here. Derek's got the good, he's got his pulse.
Derek likes his lady wrestling. Yeah, Lady Santa Fe.
He's got his pulse on the...
on the lady wrestling?
On the wrist of wrestling. Yeah.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Subscribe to our podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. And we'll see you all next time. Take care.